He separated them unto himself to bring the light and knowledge of God to the nations. They brought it chiefly through the Word of the Living God.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland welcomes Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks for another information-packed week of study on Israel in the end times, helping the body of Christ stay informed and gain valuable knowledge about these end times. Now to begin our lesson, here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We have with us this week, again, Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. That is a great place to be. Welcome to Eagle Mountain.
Much. Yeah, Eagle Mountain.
We love having you, Billy. We had a great week last week.
Praise the Lord. We are watching the signs of the times in which we live. And we've used for a key verse of Scripture, Matthew 16, 2 and 3, where Jesus said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? God is always doing something. He's always doing something. He never stops. We're not waiting on God to move. God's on the move.
And we shouldn't be in the dark.
No, we shouldn't be in the dark.
We should be in the ark.
We should be moving with God.
That's right.
So how do you move with God? How do you know the signs of the times? How could these people have kept from being chided by the master? How can we keep from being chided by the master? Know the signs of the times. Where are we going to find them? In a zodiac book?
No.
In a tabloid?
No.
In Nostradamus Predicts, as we're going out the supermarket line? No, you're only going to find them in the Word of God. And He tells you in the Word of God exactly who the people are of God's Word, God's plan, God's prophecies. And He tells you what is coming in their future because of what came in their past. Your future, you know, is, and everyone's future, is not that God is just sitting up there like saying, you're going to get it.
No.
You're going to be in the goat pile. You're going to be a goat nation, and you're going to be a sheep nation. I just like your color better. No, that's not how it is. The sheep nations are going to be sheep nations because of what they chose to do.
That's right.
Now, how did they choose it? Let's say that you're sitting out there, and you are the president of the United States of America. You are a leader in any nation of this earth. How are you going to lead your nation into sheep nation status? By following the will of God as is written in the Word of God. And so He has given us His will for the people groups He sees. And the people groups He sees we find in the letters to the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. We know you have your Bibles because we can't know the will of God. We can't know the signs of the times without a Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32 says, give no one offense. Writing to the church, God says, give no one offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. A better, more accurate way to say it, a biblical way, is rather than call Gentiles, is to call them nations. The Jews, the nations, and the church. God sees three groups of peoples. He has, for these three groups of peoples, judgments. He has futures for these three groups of peoples. They're going to all be around. Some of them, some out of each group, are going to be around for the millennial age. And so how do they get over into the millennial? How does a nation get over into that millennial age? Bless the Lord. How do the Jews get over there? How does the church get over there? And where do we go? And what do we look like? It's all in the Word of God and what's going to be happening in our very near future. So now we're identifying those three groups. We can only identify them from the Word of God. In their order of appearance, the first one that appears in the Bible is the nations. And the nations appear after the judgment. God brought a judgment of the flood, wiped out all of that unbelief and evil in their hearts continually, left the only man in his family that still believed God so that the human race wouldn't be wiped out. And that was Noah, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives. So we went to chapter 10, and we saw on Friday the beginnings of the nations. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis is called, in the Hebrew, the book of beginnings. And so we go to the book of beginnings, and we find them getting off the boat. And as they got off the ark, God begins to give us the generations of the nations as He populates the earth. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And unto them sons were born after the flood. Japhet, the son of Noah, it begins to name his sons, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yavon, Tubal, Meshach, Tiras. And of the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Rephat, Togarma. And so we see areas of Europe, we see Eastern Europe, we see even Turkey. And then we see that this is when they were divided into their families and in their nations. Hebrew word is goyim, verse 5. Then we come to the sons of Ham. And the sons of Ham, as he names them in there, we see Libya, we see Ethiopia, we see Mizraim is Egypt. And so we're going to see African nations. And then we go down to the third son, verse 21, Shem, unto also the father of all the children of Eber. Eber is the name from which we get the word Hebrew. And so the Hebrews come from the sons of Shem. Also coming to him, verse 22, the children of Shem are Elam. Elam is present-day Iran. So we find that they're from the sons of Persia. They're from the sons of Shem. And so we find all the ones who come from the sons of Shem. Now we're going to consider all these families. Verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah and their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So the nations were divided. The nations are defined for us after the flood. 70 nations are listed here. You don't count Shem, Ham, and Japhet. And you don't count the Philistines, they're a mixed group. But you count all the others and you'll find the beginnings of 70 nations whom God loves, whom God has plans for, whom God reaches out to. Now God gave an order. God's orders are to be obeyed. Then and now. Then his order to them is after they got off. Here's the divine plan, chapter 9 of Genesis, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Repopulate this whole earth. Go around the whole earth and have babies. Well, we find that one of the first things that happened, the nations rebelled against God. And the rebellion was led by a man named Nimrod. And we see him, Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. And we find Sheba and Dedan and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Shinar, S-H-I-N-A-R. Now, according to the Talmud, the Midrash of the Talmud, the oral law and tradition of the Jews, anytime you see Shinar in the Bible, it means Babylon. Babylon and Shinar are synonymous terms. And it occurs several times, but we see that his kingdom, Nimrod's kingdom, is in Babylon. And we're going to find out about it in chapter 11, because even though God told them to go through all the whole earth, that was the order to mankind. Here's what they did. Genesis 11, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now the land of Shinar is between the two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. It's present-day Iraq. And we find them, rather than going throughout the whole earth, they go to this land on a plain, and there they stay. And they say this, verse 3. And this is about 340 years after the flood. And they're all still together and they've all gone to one place and they haven't gone to populate the earth. And this is what they say. Verse 3. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. They don't have any stones there in that place. They have to make brick. And they had brick for a stone and slime for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Let's go all stay there and build us a big name, because we sure wouldn't want to have to obey God and do what he said. That reminds me of today. Like it's the furthest thing from some men's ideas and notions that you could just possibly get this word out and obey it just like it's written. So they did exactly the opposite thing. You know the story. God comes down and he says, verse 7, Go to, let us go down, and there confound their speech, that they may not understand one another's speech. Now, it's a very telling verse in verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. If they could all imagine the same thing and they could all speak the same thing, then they could do, they were unlimited in their power. Man became a speaking spirit. So, lest they become powerful in their evil, God, verse 8, this is a judgment, God scatters them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So the first thing the nations did, they rebelled against the plan of God. Now God begins back with verse 10. There were three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. The nations have rebelled. But now God's going to use a line. He's going to go to the line of Shem. And he begins to trace the generations from the line of Shem. And he gets down into Abraham's father. And they live in Ur of the Chaldees. They too live in present day Iraq. Iraq is the oldest nation. What we call Iraq is the oldest nation with the oldest history in the Bible. In fact, the two rivers, the Bible says that in the Garden of Eden there were four rivers. Two of them, the Tigris and the Euphrates. We know where they are, the Tigris and the Euphrates, present-day Iraq. The land between the rivers was called Mesopotamia. And so there they lived on that plain. And God says to Abram, I went back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, there were also two more rivers. And with satellite photos, they have found those other two rivers between the Persian Gulf. So it is now believed that the Garden of Eden was somewhere there in that very south of Iraq where the Tigris and the Euphrates meet. And then the other two rivers are down in the Gulf. And it is so very interesting that our richest oil supplies are now coming from the place where the Garden of Eden may have been. It says in Genesis that God made the man and then he planted a garden eastward in Eden and set the man in the garden. So if that's so, we can trace Iraq. Well, we for sure can say that the Tigris and Euphrates, where Iraq is between them, is right back from the Garden of Eden time. So we see that Iraq is the oldest nation. And Iraq, in the Bible, Babylon, right here, a rebellion has occurred there. Many things have occurred there through the years. And there is also judgment for Iraq. We're talking about judgment of the nations. You can read Jeremiah 50, Jeremiah 51. You can read Isaiah 13, Isaiah 14. And you can find that in the latter days when the Jews come home, there will be a judgment upon the land of Iraq brought by armies from the coasts of the earth. So we are literally seeing some things that are happening right now. They are in the Bible. They are prophesied. And if you will believe the Bible and not laugh at it and scoff at it and say, oh, you foolish people for believing the Bible. They laughed and scoffed in those days. But it's going to come down to the light, and the right is in the written word of God. And so we see now that Abram, who lives in Ur of the Chaldees, who lives in present-day Iraq, God calls him out of that country. And chapter 12, Genesis 12, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Mm. So God calls Abram, he's literally the first Jew, the very first one, and out of him is going to come the Jewish nation. Out of him is going to come Israel. And God is, he said of this nation of Israel, that he makes them a holy nation, and that this holy nation, Leviticus 20, 24, and 26, he said, I have separated you from other people, and you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. So he severed them from all the nations. He took this nation of Israel, he made it a holy nation. He called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, present-day Iraq, and he said to him, I'm going to give you a promised land, a land. This is where we get the name of promised land. God promised it to Abraham for working with him in behalf of the nations. It was the job of the Jews that came up under Abraham to reveal the one true God to those rebellious nations. Their job is to reveal the light of God. Bless the Lord. And so Abram comes, he comes into the land, and God promises him that land. A pope said to a prime minister of Israel, "You know, this city, this land is holy to three religions, to Judaism, to Christianity, and to Islam." And the prime minister said, "Holy to three, promised to one." And it was promised to Abraham and to the natural seed, Jerusalem. Right now the whole world's in an argument over it, and especially in an argument over the mountains of Israel. When Abraham comes into the land, we can follow him. All we have to do is get a map. And we'll show you some maps of his journeys. And he comes down through what the Bible calls the mountains of Israel. Verse 6, he comes to the first place, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the Alon Moreh, unto the tree of enlightenment. High on a mountain there. The King James says plain, but it's a tree. An oak tree of revelation. And under a tree, which is still there, God speaks to Abram and says, "Unto thy seed..." Verse 7, "And Jehovah appears unto Abram and says, unto thy seed I will give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." This place, the Alon Moreh, this tree on the mountains of Israel where God appeared to Abraham, it's right between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, or rather that's over to the side. This is a higher mountain called the Mountain of Abraham. And down in the valley lies the town of Shechem, the ancient town of Shechem, which is spoken of here in verse 6. It is present day Nablus. So when you see Nablus in the news, you know that you're seeing this place right here in the news. And you know that God took Abram up in a high mountain over Nablus or over Shechem and says, "I give you this land." And he removed from thence and went to Bethel and he built an altar there. And then we see him coming down in chapter 13, the end of the chapter, to Hebron. And there he builds another altar. In chapter 15, God promises him the land and he walks between the covenant of the pieces. And God promises him the mountains of Israel. All of his altars, Abraham's three altars, are in what the world calls the West Bank. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. When you say the mountains of Israel, Ezekiel 36, that God will bring them back to the mountains of Israel, when you say the mountains of Israel, you might as well say the West Bank. Because that's what the Bible calls Judea, Samaria. He calls it the mountains of Israel. And you'll see, we'll put up a map for you, drawing Abraham's journey down the mountains of Israel and drawing the present day, what the world calls the West Bank. So God's plan is for him to come into the land, to possess the land, to reveal God to the nations. And then he makes the promise for the land from Abraham to his son Isaac to his son Jacob. So the land of Israel, God didn't give them all the land in the whole world, but what he gave them, he gave them. Now, we'll put up another map for you to see. The present day land of Israel is very small. It's the size of New Jersey. And we'll put up the Arabic states next to it. And you'll see how much more vast amount of lands the Arabic Islamic states have than does the little state of Israel. So it's not really a need for the land. But, bless the Lord, hallelujah, we see them in that land, and they first, God deals with Israel. And we see in the Bible, we see God's dealing with Israel. We can tell where we are on God's time clock by his dealings with Israel. The Bible says certain things about the people of Israel. And his dealings with Israel start out with the choosing. He chose Israel. Number two, the blessing. He blessed Israel with Abraham. Number three, bringing them into the promised land. Number four, the scattering. Number five, the ingathering. Number six, the restoration. And number seven, the redemption of Israel. We can tell where we are on God's time clock by what is happening in Israel. When they asked Jesus about the times, he said, "Watch the fig tree." And the fig tree is Israel. Also watch the other trees of divine prophecy. But we see that God's plan, I say that he had a plan A and he had a plan B. Now the Jews, the Bible says in the New Testament, it says in Romans chapter 3, Let's just turn there quickly. Romans chapter 3. This is too good not to look at with your very own eyes. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. God committed to the Jews his word. They wrote the word. They were very watchful of it. They were very careful of it. And so they brought, he separated them unto himself to bring the light and knowledge of God to the nations. They brought it chiefly through the word of the living God. But there was another way they were to bring the light of God to the nations. And that was their geographical location, where God put them so that the nations could know they had the true God. There is an ancient map of Israel that looks like a three-leaf clover of Jerusalem. And one of those petals is Europe, one of the petals is Asia, and one of the petals is Africa. You might say Yafet, Shem, and Ham, and their descendants. And then you see Jerusalem right in the middle. And God said concerning Israel, I'm going to place you in the center of the nations. And he did that. He placed this little land that he's going to show himself through in the very center of those three continents. Those three big continents have a land bridge that passes through little nation of Israel. The ancient armies, the ancient trade routes came right through the little land of Israel. When they came through that little land of Israel, what are they supposed to see? They are supposed to see what Deuteronomy 28 tells us, that this nation is blessed going out, blessed coming in, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. This nation has the one true God.
Praise God.
Now, you might want to read before tomorrow when we come back. Read that chapter, the blessing chapter, Deuteronomy 28, because it says in Galatians that the blessing is of Abraham. Come on us.
So that was a witness to them that
God
was in the earth and that he was in that nation.
Yes.
And that he would make himself known.
By blessings.
By blessings.
That's exactly right. And we can look at that, and we will look at that tomorrow to see this special little verse where he says, these other nations are going to see you and they're going to know Jehovah's your God.
Praise.
That was plan A. Now tomorrow we're going to see what plan B was. Because Israel's destiny, the gifts and the callings of God, are without repentance. Their destiny is to reveal God to the nations.
Praise God. Don't go away, Billy, and I'll be right back.
Jesus said
that you can see the physical things and tell if it's going to rain tomorrow, but you cannot see in the Word of God the signs of the times when you're living.
Do you know the signs of the times?
No matter what is happening on the earth, when you're alive, God's doing something.
That's right. Absolutely.
He's moving on toward
the
completion of the big plan.
Discover what God's Word has to say about what's happening in the world today in The Jews, the Nations, and the Church, a series by Billy Brim. Find out how to rightly divide the truth of God's Word. Understand the place and importance of Israel in prophecy. Discern the difference between God's view of the West Bank and the world's.
There is no stability in any time you might be living, but especially right now, unless you have knowledge of the Word of God.
The Jews, the Nations, and the Church. Order your copy today. Billy Brim's teaching series, The Jews, the Nations, and the Church, is available on audio cassette or CD for $16 and video cassette for $45. You can order online at kcm.org or call toll-free 1-800-575-4455. Use the offer numbers on your screen. Use your charge card or personal check when ordering online or over the phone. And as always, you can write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
This material Billy's covering is in here, plus a lot of others. You can't possibly get to it all on the broadcast. And I know you can't keep up with it because
what?
I can't. You can't do all this on the broadcast.
No, you can't.
You know you have to have that time, so I want to encourage you to do that. It's so good to get it all down, but you know you just can't make notes that fast, so you need the tapes. We want to pray for you, for your victory. Whatever it is you need, God is there. He is big and moving in your life today, just like he moved in Abraham's life, he'll move in your life. If you'll give him faith. Abraham had to give him faith. So, Father, we lift
Thank
up
you,
every
Lord.
Person. Every person that's sick today, I speak the healing power of God to flow into them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Receive your healing. Take it. And receive it in the name of Jesus. Bless their home, Father. If they need money, I pray for their finances, Lord.
Yes.
Increase them. Prosper them. Reveal to them where
what to do.
Your plan goes for them. They need to know your plan, Lord. Give them the path that you have for them and prosper them on their way. We thank you, Lord, for the peace of God in that family and every family listening to this broadcast. And we give you all the praise. We believe you for our well-being, Lord. We thank you that you're faithful. And we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The West Coast Believers Convention is June the 28th through July the 3rd in Anaheim, California. We'll be doing Bible study there and having miracles and healing and all kind of great things for a whole 6 days. And we want to invite you to come. We'll have Super Kids Children's Services, ages 6 through 12. Your children can have their lives changed there. They need to be taught, just like you and I need to be taught. So bring your family and come to the meetings this summer and let the children get in on the good things and you get in on the good things and let them start off right. You know, a lot of us, most of us didn't start off as children in the things of God, but you have that ability and you have that opportunity to start your children while they're young. So they'll never have to depart. Billy and I will be back tomorrow, and we'll see you then. Remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for being a part of today's Believer's Voice of Victory. To request this week's teaching on audio or video cassette, visit us at kcm.org. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-575-4455. Ask for the program number on your screen. Remember, today's product can be ordered through our website. And now, for your convenience, you can make your contributions online. Thank you, partners, for joining with us to reach the world with every available voice.
How can I make more money?
Why do I feel so alone?
Is God really there?
What questions are you asking? Get your answers in a Holy Spirit-charged atmosphere at the 2004 West Coast Believers Convention, June 28th through July 3rd, at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California. For more information, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-359-0075.
Are you ready? It's time for the 2004 West Coast Believers Convention. So get up, turn that TV off, and join me, Commander Kelly, Commander Dana, and Commander Linda, because we're bringing Super Kid Academy to you, West Coast. Join us in Anaheim, California on June the 28th through July the 3rd. That's for ages 6 through 12, and we'll be at the Anaheim Convention Center. And I just have one question for you. Are you ready?
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
They're going to know that he's Jehovah. There's going to be a great revelation of him, perhaps in a war, Ezekiel 38 and 39. But there will be a revelation first of God the Father to those who are not believing right now.